CriptoCommunity.com.
Can you guys hear? Oh my gosh. Can you guys hear me okay? Good grief. All right. Okay, so the question that we're going to look at this week is, can you tell me more about the Holy Spirit? And I really like this question because I believe the Holy Spirit and his role in a believer's life is one of the most important, but yet least understood topics, which I do find quite interesting because the Bible has a ton to say about the Holy Spirit. He's referenced 352 times throughout the Old and New Testament, 88 times in the Old Testament, 60 times in the Gospels, 57 times in the book of Acts, and 132 times in the epistles. Okay? Now, for comparison, the word love is referenced 333 times, depending on which translation you use. Okay? And then my point, though, is not about the specific number. It's the fact that we talk about God's love all the time, and we should, because it's a wonderful thing. Right? But it does seem to dominate most of our discussions about God and spiritual things. But the Bible seems to have just as much to say, if not more, than the Holy Spirit. So why doesn't he make the cut of things to talk about, and why do we seem to understand him so little? And I've been racking my brain on this, and I keep coming back to the thought that maybe for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit just doesn't seem tangible to us. Right? It's rather something ethereal. Do you guys know what the word ethereal means? I had to look it up, right? It means seeming to belong to another world, lacking material substance, right? And that kind of seems to fit that bill, right? That's a lot of people's idea of the Holy Spirit. Literally almost an idea more than anything else. And then some translations use the name Holy Ghost, which kind of solidifies this idea to many. But in reality, it couldn't be further from the truth. We're going to explore that this morning. Now, last week, when Pastor Eric was teeing this message up, he promised that I'd keep it under 6 hours. Okay? And I'm not sure if he said that because he knows I tend to be long-winded, or if it's because it really could take that long to talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's probably a little bit of both. He's smiling. He knows. I know. So, but as I mentioned before, there really is so much that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. I struggled a little bit trying to figure out what direction to take this message. But after some careful thought and prayer, I decided it would be better to concentrate just as much on who the Holy Spirit is and his nature and his characteristics as what he does. Okay? My hope was that by gaining a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, that you would be encouraged to explore this on your own to find out how he works in your lives. Okay? That's my hope. As we go through this, I'm going to be referencing a lot of scripture, okay? So while my concentration will be on who the Spirit is, many of the passages that I go through are going to tell you a lot about what he does as well, so just pay attention to that, okay? Even if I don't specifically point that out, there's relevance there. And because I will be covering a lot of scripture, it may be hard to follow along in your Bible, if you got it, or your phone, if you're doing the app. We will have this all up on the screens. Your choice. I don't want to discourage anybody from following along if that is what works best for you. But I will move a little bit fast, okay? So let's start by answering this question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Now notice that I did not say what is the Holy Spirit, because the Bible clearly identifies the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Personal pronouns such as he and him are used rather than the word it. If you look with me at the Gospel of John, you'll see this firsthand. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking with his disciples. And at this moment, when he's doing this, it was close to his betrayal by Judas and his arrest and ultimately his crucifixion. So he takes some time to give them words of comfort. So God the Son tells them that soon God the Father would be sending God the Spirit to them. And listen what he says and how he says it, starting in verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And the disciples ask some questions because they're a bit confused about this, and Jesus tells them in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And I'll say this. This is not the point to get hung up on the gender being used, okay, for the Holy Spirit. That can be a topic for a different day. For now, just recognize in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a person and not a thing. So if I take a few more moments, and I really emphasize this, because as I mentioned at the beginning, I think the big reason why people don't talk about the Holy Spirit or understand too much about him is that. And I think they would if they realize that he is a person, just as Jesus Christ is a person. So if we do this, we'll get a closer look at some of those other characteristics of the Holy Spirit too. All right, so what I want to do right now is I want to take a look at three different attributes of the Holy Spirit that testify to his personhood in Scripture, okay? And the first one I want to point out is intellect, okay? The Holy Spirit possesses the ability to know and to understand reality. In Romans 8, verse 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And I love that verse right there. This idea of groaning too deep for words. And I'm pretty sure that if it is too deep for words, it's got to be pretty smart. And it says along with this that God knows what the mind of the Spirit is, right? No words are actually necessary because the Father understands and agrees with what the Spirit thinks. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So God reveals truth to us through the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he is very uniquely qualified for this because he knows all that God knows because he is in fact God. And coupled with that is the next verse to that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." Again, the Holy Spirit is able to understand the thoughts of God. And this is only possible if the Holy Spirit has intellect. The second one that I want to bring up, the second attribute of personhood, is emotion. Okay? One of the key attributes of a person is possessing the ability to experience emotion. Right? I want to read to you Ephesians 4:30. It's a very short verse. But it's very telling on this matter. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Okay, I will say this. This is one verse that comes up a lot, and people do want to know what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you want the whole background on the verse, it's in our message bank out on porticocommunity.com. If you go to the message from March 8th of this year, everything you wanted to know about the book of Ephesians and probably some stuff you didn't, it's all right there, okay? But for the purposes of today's message, I plucked this one verse purely because of that one word that's used there. It's that word grieve. Inanimate objects cannot grieve. Things can't grieve, but persons can. And grief is an emotion, and it indicates that the Holy Spirit can exhibit that emotion. And the third one is volition. Another word I had to look up, okay? It means the act of willing, choosing, or resolving. It means that the Holy Spirit has the ability to determine or act decisively. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the people of Corinth about the spiritual gifts that they have received. In chapter 12, listen to what Paul says, starting in verse 4, about these gifts, and especially how he ties it all up regarding the Holy Spirit. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. And here it is, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Likewise, now is not the time to get hung up on some of these spiritual gifts that were mentioned in that list. That was a specific list to this church in Corinth for a very specific purpose. That too can be a topic for a different day. But for right now, just recognize that Paul's listing, right, all of these different gifts that they had available and letting them know that A, they came from the Holy Spirit. B, they were not something to seek, but rather a gift from the Spirit to be accepted. And C, they came from the Holy Spirit as he saw fit, right? So these three attributes, intelligence, emotion, volition, they are exhibited by the Holy Spirit and demonstrate very clearly his personhood. So now that we've established that the Holy Spirit is not just a thing, right? Not some substanceless entity, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Let's turn our focus onto what it is the Holy Spirit does. This particular list I go through right now is not intended to be an exhaustive list, right? It's just an important glance of some of the key things that I don't think that the Holy Spirit gets enough credit for. The first thing I want to point out is actually to remind everyone that the Holy Spirit was there at creation. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was active in our world and in our lives. If you look with me at the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, the very first verses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, listen to this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the spirit of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. I just want to pause right there and reflect. Did you know that the Holy Spirit played an active part in the creation of the entire universe? How awesome. And if you look ahead to verse 26, where now we get into the creation of man, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds and the sky and the cattle, etc. So have you ever realized that the Holy Spirit played an active part in the creation of the first persons, Adam and Eve? And isn't that kind of staggering to think about? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? He was there, and he wasn't some thing off in the distance kind of waiting for his turn to do something. No, right from the start of everything, he was there and active. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit was prominent in Jesus' life, and he bore witness to Jesus Christ. If we look at a few examples from Jesus' life, we'll see that. First, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm just going to read these next couple of verses to you. They won't be on the screen, okay? So if you just listen, Matthew 1:20 says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And we see that the Holy Spirit was present at the time of Jesus' baptism. Luke 3:21-22 says, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit was right there, right there. And that's a wonderful spot where you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit all there in one place. The Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert. Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. He was there with Jesus, even in Jesus, ministering to him and guiding him. And in fact, the Holy Spirit was there throughout Jesus' entire ministry. I'll just give you one example of this in Matthew 12. Jesus, in this situation, casts out a demon in a possessed man. And the Pharisees, they're seeing this, and they couldn't wrap their heads around that this could be the power of God, so instead they attributed it to the power of Satan. In rebuking them, Jesus tells them how he did it. Matthew 12:25-28, he told them, And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebul cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason they will be your judges. But listen, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Right? So he's telling them, he did this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit was right there with him that time. Right? So that gives us a snapshot of kind of the prominence of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. If we just quickly look at the part where he bears witness to who Jesus is, John 15:26 says this, when the Helper comes, whom I, that is Jesus, will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. Right? The Holy Spirit, he'll bear witness to who Jesus is. And in John 16:12-14, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to Jesus. He'll disclose, he'll reveal Christ. So we can see here, the Holy Spirit is not some separate entity kind of doing his own thing, right? He's just not off somewhere that we can't see. He was very prominent and active in Jesus' life and ministry, and that's exactly as was planned by God the Father. And the third thing about this that I want to focus on, as my voice cracks for some reason, also happens to be one of the most important areas of the Spirit's work. That's his work with respect to salvation. Okay? Take a look with me at John 3, verses 4 through 6. In this passage, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to Jesus to ask him questions, right? And interestingly, coming from a Pharisee, even to acknowledge that Jesus came from God. But Jesus told him it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just acknowledging that fact, but rather that Nicodemus needed to be born again. So listen to what it said. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This tells us, by Jesus' own words, that sinners are born into God's kingdom by whom? Holy Spirit. And then in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Here Paul's reminding Titus that the Spirit regenerates and renews us. Salvation brings cleansing from sin and the gift of a new, Spirit-generated, Spirit-empowered, and Spirit-protected life as a child of God and an heir to everlasting life in his presence. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. So what he's saying here is this goes beyond the baptism by water, which in and of itself cannot save. That's an outward demonstration and profession of belief, which Jesus told us that we should partake in. But like the physical act of being immersed in water, so too, at the point of salvation, we were immersed in the Holy Spirit, and he entered into our lives, and through that, we become one body of believers. I'd like to make one final note on that topic of the Spirit's work regarding salvation, and this one here is so important. If I had you nodding off at any point before this, snap back right here, okay? The Holy Spirit acts as a guarantee of salvation to the believer, okay? If the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, and I'm talking true conversion here, just beyond just saying the so-called sinner's prayer, beyond just coming to church from time to time and believing that fills a religious duty. And I'm not talking about making a decision for Christ, okay? Anyone can make a decision and still not live a repentant, regenerate life. What I'm talking about here is genuine conversion. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then that is a mark of authentic salvation. And the Bible tells us we can be assured that eternal salvation is secure and preserved. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, and he starts off with some encouragement to them. He tells them of all these great things about who Christ is and who they were in Christ. And he reminds them, though, no matter what, their salvation was assured. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Guys, these are some of the most wonderful words in the entire Bible. You know, in verse 13, the Greek word that is used when it says you were sealed is this word called sphragizo, okay? And this word meant an official seal. Back in these days, what was typically done was something like a signet ring, if we've got that picture. Okay? So you pour wax over a scroll or an envelope, and then to seal it closed, that ring was pressed into the cooling wax, and it made that impression. That mark was proof to all who saw it that that letter was genuine, and that seal would convey to all who saw it four truths: authenticity, ownership, authority, and security. That being said, in these verses that God is telling us, his Holy Spirit is that seal in us. When we were saved, we obtained an inheritance, eternal life in his presence. At that point, we are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. That's authenticity. It says we are sealed with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. That is, we now belong to God. That's ownership. And it says that God gives the Holy Spirit as a pledge from him. That's authority. And these wonderful verses promise us that the Holy Spirit is given by God as his pledge of the believer's future inheritance and glory. If we are truly saved, then our salvation is not up in the air, it's not to be taken away, and we can't lose it because it's not ours to lose. God pledged it, and he sealed us with a seal that cannot be broken. That's security. This would be a great spot for someone to shout out amen. Thank you. Yes. All right, well, I will say this. This is probably about as good a spot as any to close things out today. I decided not to take the full 6 hours. There we go. Woo! Yes. Yes. So I'll say, hopefully this morning, though, some of that mystery, some of the mystery surrounding the Holy Spirit has been cleared up a little bit. We've seen that the Holy Spirit has played a vital role in all of creation, from the formation of our universe to the creation of man to Jesus' life and ministry, all the way until now in the lives of believers today. He's the seal from God the Father assuring us of our eternity in heaven upon our salvation. As I mentioned at the beginning, though, there really is so much more that can be said about the Holy Spirit, specifically his role in our lives. So I really do urge you then to take what you have heard and learned today and use that as a springboard to launch yourself into a deeper study on your own on this subject. Please do that. Learn more about what it is that the Spirit does for each of us. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised his disciples before he ascended to heaven to be with God the Father. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That was his promise. And what I think is really cool about that verse is that the Greek word for power, which is used there, is dunamis. And it's where we get the English words dynamic and dynamite from. It's like every Christian is packed with this spiritual dynamite, this power from the Holy Spirit. whether you realize it or not. So as you go deeper, pray that the Holy Spirit would show you this power. Ask Him for guidance and wisdom and discernment in understanding God's Word. Ask for His help to pray when you can't find the words. Does anybody struggle with the words sometimes? I do. Yeah. Ask Him to help point out the sin in your lives and for the resolve to do something about it. Ask Him for the courage and the strength to always stand up for the truth and to share God's Word with those around us. Ask Him to no longer be a mystery to you, but to be right there all beside you every day for the rest of your lives. So will you join me in prayer here? Spirit, what an amazing thing it is to just find out more about You today. To acknowledge that You're not some far-off thing that we can't understand. You've been there all along. You'll be here now, and You'll always be there. You're that promise that Jesus told His disciples about. How amazing is it that You are in our lives? Often we say things like, oh, I wish I could have been there when Jesus was there. I wish Jesus was here now, and that would be so cool. But You promised the Helper to be with us always. Holy Spirit, thank You. So as we go through our days, we do ask for these things. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding when we're going through the Bible and we don't understand what it is that God had to say. When we're stuck in a rut, when we're crying out to You and we just don't know what it is to say, but we feel something so deep in our hearts, pray for us. And Father, Spirit, Christ, be with us every moment of every day. Thank You so very, very much. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.